Look at Hebrews 10 and 35. I'm on and popping. All right. Am I on? Okay. 10 and 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. People are losing confidence in God, confidence in the church, and it's mainly because of the people that represent God and represent the church. Pastors and preachers and leaders doing off the hook stuff, and so they're making everybody look bad. But don't, y'all, it's the word of God, it's God, it's Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so don't cast off your confidence. He's saying, make sure you keep your confidence high in God and the things of God, which has a great recompense of reward. Okay? For ye have need of patience, that after you, are y'all ready for the two steps? How many steps? All right, here we go. Step number one. After you've done the will of God. Everybody say step one. Do the will of God. And then it leads to step two. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That's all it is, y'all. It's two steps to anything you want in this life from God. Number one, find out the will of God and do it. Number two, if you do the will of God that you know to do, you will receive the promise. I love the beginning of the scripture. It says, cast not therefore away your confidence in the things of God, in the church of God. Somebody say amen. Because there is a great recompense of reward. Let me tell you what they're saying. There is a great payday. There is a great payoff. If you stick with the will of God, if you stick with the things of God, there is a great payoff. And amen goes right there. One, two, three. Amen. But everything in this world, everything in our flesh, everything in Satan's kingdom tries to convince us that there is no payoff. Now, the secret to the kingdom of God is that it takes faith. He will not show you what's behind door number one. Although he marks door number one, my will. So you'll know door number one is his will. But he won't show you what's behind door number one. You got to walk through door number one. You got to be obedient to his will. And on the other side of the door is the blessing and is the reward. Somebody say amen. Are y'all going to help me go faster? Come on. Y'all got to keep me with amen. Y'all, does this make sense to you? All right. So, as we look at the kingdom two-step, as I call it, there are a lot of concepts in Christianity that people have a hard time connecting. We talked about last week. What is being born again? Spirit-filled. Sin, what's sin? What's purity? Casting out the devil, consecration, sanctification, worship, speaking in tongues, Shabbat, praise God, lift your hands, touch and agree, financial breakthroughs, anointing, all these things that we talk about in church, which are true biblical spiritual concepts. Many people who come to church, who hit and miss, who have gaps in their learning, who come once a month or twice a month, or go from this church to that church and watch YouTube, they're very confused about how the things of the kingdom work, how the things of God work. But y'all, God is very simple. He's not complex. The things of God are not complex. It's very simple how the things of God work. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So God will remove your sight so that you can walk by faith, so that you can please him. But if you will do what God has told you to do without knowing for sure what the consequence will be, you will get a reward. Somebody say amen. Mm-hmm. We talked about the four stages of Christianity last week. Everybody in here is in one of those four stages. If you're not born again, if you're not truly a Christian, if you're under the umbrella of being a sinner and being outside the will of God, outside the family of God, the first stage is induction. We talked about it as a military. Your first stage is induction. It's coming in, right? And being sworn in and being baptized in and being born again, right? Into the family of God. When you're born again, you're born into the family of God. Some of you may not be in the family of God or consider yourself a Christian or consider yourself born again. It's okay. You can be born again today. It's your decision. Somebody say amen. There's a scripture that says in the day that you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart, but answer the call. Somebody say amen. So you can do that at any moment today. Amen. You can give your life to Christ. So that's induction. Number two is the boot camp, right? It's the basic training. It's basic training of what is Christianity all about? What? Can I smoke weed? Can I not smoke weed? Can I drink? Can I still sleep with my boyfriend? Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I still party in club? What can I do? What can I do? What is it all about? What is it all about? And y'all, we bring people in. We tell them, it's like a list of don't do. You can't do. You can't do that. Can't do that. That, if when you're trying to get people to get born again, sometimes that, kind of throws people off. Or they leave. I don't want to do all that. But it's not about that if we don't connect the dots. But it's about once you come into basic training, number one, in boot camp, when you go to military, first thing they do is they strip you of your old identity, right? You come in with orange hair, red hair, and green hair, and all this crazy stuff. Nah, man, you finna have the same cut like everybody else. They finna take it all off. Man, I've been growing these dreads since I was 12. Do you want to be in the military? Right? Right. They're going to do that, right? And so you're going to become less of who you are, and then they're going to give you your identity as a soldier or whatever you're going to be doing. So then in basic training, right, we build you up. We tear you down. We take you out of your old self, your old identity, your old man, your old habits, your old setting, all of that. And then we bring you into the new. Somebody say, now I'm a Christian. Amen. You was known in the neighborhood as the thot, right? You was known as the player. You was known as the pimp. You was known as the drug man. No, now you get a new identity called I'm a Christian. Anybody a Christian in here? Yeah. Amen. Let me hear you say it real loud. I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. And we're not ashamed of that. All right. Third stage is after we get you in induction, after we get you through basic training and boot camp, then you get into your assignment. Now we start training you for your specialty. What are you going to do in the kingdom? Because whatever you do in the kingdom is what you've been assigned to do in your lifetime on earth. Somebody say amen. And then once you're ready for that, we send you out. We send you out into the community. We send you out into the world. We send you out, right? And we deploy you. And those are the four stages of Christianity. And that's where the blessing lies. But most people in our churches, we're at level one, level two. Half the people in church, more than half, I think sometimes, not even born again. They've never been born again. They've never experienced Christ. They've never had a before after picture with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if. Everybody say if. Everybody say if. This side, everybody say if. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. If. And you know what's going to happen over time? All things are passed away. And you know my favorite word in the scripture is what? Behold. You know what that means? Oh, my Christianity is personal. It's personal, but it ain't private. Because when you truly get saved, all your old friends are going to be like, bro, what happened to you? Girl, what's going on with you? Hello? How many of y'all, I know it's only a few people. How many of y'all ever lost so much weight people didn't even know who you were? Yeah. Didn't recognize. Girl, is that you? Yeah, it's called a before after picture. Yeah. So if any man's in Christ, he is a what? Diamond, find that scripture, put it up there. That's a big word. If any man or woman is in Christ, they're a new creature. All things are passed away. And what? Behold. That means everybody can see it. Don't be talking about Can't you tell I lost 100 pounds on Jenny Craig? If you got to ask somebody that, you didn't lose the 100 pounds. Now. Somebody lying. Somebody say amen. So if you're in Christ, you're going to become this new creature. Somebody say amen. All right, here we go. Now, this pushes on another concept that we got to hit again. I always hit it. I love hitting this because it takes all that stupid stuff the devil convinced you of and the world convinced you of about God and how everything works, and it helps you. Helps you really understand how it works. Remember, I like to explain how the things of God work, how the kingdom works. All right? So this is God's will for your life. Now, I just said most people never get to stage 4 in Christianity. Most people never get out of stage 1, stage 2. Either they saved, they not saved, they need to get saved, or they saved and they're not delivered, they still in sin, they still out there in the world, they still out there in the streets, they still doing all the same old stuff, and they haven't become a new creature, all right? But we told you the will of God is that you get through all 4 stages. Now, here's the thing. This pushes on a concept that everything that God wants doesn't happen. How many of y'all ever heard this? God's in control. How many of y'all ever heard that? God is in control. We used to sing them song. God is in control. God is in full control. Better. It's got to get better because God is in control. Not true. Not true. That stage in my life, that didn't get better. They kept getting worse. And you know why they got worse? Because God wasn't in control. I was in control. I was making bad decisions. Come on, somebody. Who decided to get with that rusty dude that wasn't right in the first place, and then he took your heart, pulled it out, put it on the ground, stomped on it? Who did that? Was that God? No. You made that decision. Somebody say amen. How many of y'all know we can make wrong decisions? Let me see your hand. So if we make wrong decisions, then God's not in control. I can't hear no. If we making wrong decisions, is God in control of that? Do you know there are 8 billion people on the planet? So what if 8 billion people agree to make the wrong decision? Is God in control of that? No. God is not in total control. He's in control of some things. He's in control of his people that's obedient to him. But he's not in total control of the earth, not yet. There will come a day when Jesus comes back when he'll be in total control. Somebody say amen. Because the government shall be upon his shoulders. Somebody say amen. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Christ and of our Lord. Somebody say amen. That's in the book of Revelation. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Yeah, man is running some stuff. You know, the Bible calls Satan the god of this world, the little G-O-D. He's the god that the world prefers. You see, I was watching Oscars, and that black girl won, and she came up on stage. Now, you can say whatever you want to at the Oscars. She came up and said, she said, God is good. Holy hush. She said again, God is good. Nobody said nothing. Nobody in the whole Oscar place said nothing. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because God's not in control of Hollywood. Them people don't love God. Somebody say amen. Amen. So this whole concept of God's being in total control is really what's messed a lot of Christians up, a lot of people in church. Because when things don't go right, it's comforting to say, well, everything happens for a reason. It's comforting to say, well, if God wanted it to happen for me, it would have happened for me. Somebody say amen. Isn't that comforting? It removes any personal responsibility. You have no responsibility for your life. If God wanted you rich, you'd be rich. If God wanted you not to have an STD, he wouldn't have let you got one. If God didn't want you to get pregnant by 5 different dudes, he would have helped you not do it. Somebody say amen. No. Sometimes we make the wrong decisions. Everybody said. You ever talk to these people? Now, some people are fanatical about God's in control. They call them Calvinists. You ever talk to these people? Just ask them, theologically. So God is in control? They believe God's in control of everything. So what is he in control of? Everything. So God's in control of everything? Yeah. So they believe that everything that happens was pre-planned by God. How many of y'all ever heard these people? Yeah, God's in control of everything. God planned everything. He planned everything out. They'll tell you God's in control of everything. So you ask them, so are you telling me that everything that happened was planned by God? Everything that happened was the will of God? They say, yeah, everything that happened, the will of God, God gets what he wants every time. Yeah? So I've talked to him. So I say, so really, so if everything that happens is the will of God, then why we persecute rapists? We shouldn't put nobody in jail for molesting a child, right? Since God is in control and everything that happens is planned by God. Come on, somebody. I know I'm pushing on something. Hello? Hello? I'm sure you don't lock your doors at night since God is in control. Is this the stupidest thing you ever heard? No, God's not in full control of everything. Somebody say amen. No, he gives people a choice. Look at Psalms 25 and 12. Listen to what it says. It said, what man is he that fears Jehovah? There is a person that fears God. Him shall he instruct in the way that what? He shall what? Choose. You don't have to choose what God tells you to do. Somebody say amen. But God will instruct you on the way that you should choose. Now, whether you choose it or not is up to you. Everybody say, I got a choice. The word if appears in the Bible 1,637 times. The word if is conditional. The word if appears in the Bible 1,635 times. Isaiah 119 says, if you be what? Willing and obedient, you shall eat the what? Good of the land. It's conditional. It's up to you. So whether or not in life you eat the good of the land is not dependent on God. It's dependent on you. What about the sixth commandment? Honor your mother and your father. That what? That your what? Days may be long. They got shot down. They got killed in their teenage years. You know, my mom tells a story about a young boy that grew up with her. She grew up with her granny. And that little boy used to cuss granny out, kick granny, hit granny. Is that true? Hit your grandma. She was a God-fearing lady. Yeah. She loved him, loved you. And he used to, this was back in the 60s, the 50s. Little black boy hitting his grandmama, cussing her out, spitting on her. And everybody would say, don't do that to grandma. And they would quote the scripture, the Ten Commandments. Honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long. What happened to him, Mom? Died when he was 12 years old. Now, here we are at the funeral. Here we are at the funeral. Here's the pastor. Oh, God needed a flower. No, God didn't need a flower. No, he didn't need a flower. No, he was disobedient. He was dishonorable to his parents. The Bible say, honor your mother and father that your days may be long. Whose choice is that? Everything that happens is God's will? No. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Everybody say that. Now, this is going to be tough for some of y'all because some of y'all got so much pride. Everybody say this. Where I am in life is my fault. Whew. It's not God's. It's not God's. It's not God's. Because we just read, if you do the will of God, you receive the promise. You know, God is pro-choice. Not like the world says it, but he is pro you having a choice of life or death. He's pro you having a choice of being prosperous or being in poverty. He's pro you having a choice of being in a happy marriage relationship or going from man to man to man, woman to woman to woman, or man on man and woman on woman. He, whatever you want to do, but there is a consequence for every choice that we make. Everybody say amen. Now I'm finna speed up, guys. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. It said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, and have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. Listen to what the Bible said. He said, I have set before you life and death. You can choose either one. I've set before you blessing and cursing. You can choose either one. I've set before you, but you can choose life. He said, choose life that both you and your seed may live. Listen to this other if word. Psalm 66 and 18. Listen to what it says. It's another if. If I regard weakness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Y'all, it's not on God. A lot of everything that we are, where we are in life, it's on us. And we've made choices. If I regard, so I prayed, and God didn't answer me. Do you have weakness in your heart? Are there people you can't stand? Are there people you hate? Are you bitter against somebody? Come on, somebody. Do you have lust and lasciviousness in your heart? Say, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. Somebody say amen. So God has two sides of his goodness. He's a generous giver, yes. Somebody say amen. Matthew 5 and 45 says that you may be children of the Lord, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. God is a free giver. He gives sunshine to the wicked, to the murderer, to the pedophile, just like he does it to the preacher, to the pastor, to the missionary worker, to the grandmama with the Bible. He gives rain and sunshine to both. Somebody say amen. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave the greatest gift anyone could ever give to anybody. He gave his only begotten son. Come on, somebody. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. God is the greatest giver in the universe, but he's also a gracious rewarder. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That God is a rewarder. Somebody say, God is a rewarder. He not only gives, but that word reward means that he pays wages. Somebody say amen. Amen. When I get my paycheck, I don't send them a thank you card because I earned it. It wasn't a gift. Come on, it was a reward for doing my job. Somebody say amen. So God is a giver and he's a rewarder. God gives you two options. He says, let's make a deal. If you're willing and obedient, you can eat the good of the land. There are two parts to every blessing, God's part and your part. Everybody say, my part and God's part. That's what I'm talking about, the kingdom two-step. Everybody say, my part. Everybody say, God's part. Two steps to any miracle is my part and then God's part. How many of y'all get what I'm saying? Whatever you want from the Lord, you got to take the first step. Do your part and then he'll do his part. So many people want God to do his part, but they don't want to do their part. Talking about, can they trust God? Who's the most untrustworthy person in the whole thing? God makes the sun come up every day. Before you were born, the sun been coming up, going down every day. Who's the most faithful out of the two? I think it's God. So don't worry about God doing his part. If you'll just step out and do your part. First step, God will do his part. The second step, y'all get what I'm saying? Everything you need from the Lord, all it takes is two steps. If you learn to do your part, God will do his part. Are y'all feeling me today? That's a little dance step right there, isn't it? I do my part. He does his part. I do my part. He does his part. Come on, stand up with me, Jim. I do my part. He does his part. I do my part. He does his part. We don't have to do no lecture side, because all we got to do is learn the kingdom two-step. If I do my part, hey, he'll do his part, yeah. The lame man wanted to be healed. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Now he was still laying there crippled, and he'd have stayed crippled, but he had to do his part, and then God did his part. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. There was a blind man in the Bible who had been born blind. Jesus said, what do you want? That I may receive my sight. Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam and you'll receive your sight. He had to do his part. Then Jesus did his part. I wonder if you stand on your feet and just learn this two-step in the kingdom. If you learn, you're only two steps away from any blessing. The Bible says, put it back on there, after you've done the will of God, he'll do his part. After you've obeyed him, he will reward you. After you've given, it shall be given back. Hallelujah. Yes. 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 If I do my part, he'll do his part. Cast not away your confidence, for there is a great recompense of reward. You need consistent diligence, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That's a simple way of saying, after you do your part, God will do his part. Abraham said, God, we need a son. My wife can't bear children. God showed up and said, by this time next year, you'll have a son. But how many of y'all know a man and a wife can't just lay in the bed, twiddling their thumbs, praying for a baby? After God gave them the promise, they had to do their part. Come on in here, Sarah. Give daddy a kiss. Abraham did his part. Lit some candles. Had a candlelit dinner. Had a little romance. They was 99 years old. Hadn't kissed in 20 years. But after they did their part, God did his part. I'm getting ready to destroy the world, but I want to save you. Yes, Lord, I want to be saved. But what did Noah have to do? He had to build an ark. He had to get a hammer. He had to get some wood. He had to get some nails. He did his part. And then when it started raining, God put all the animals in the boat. I don't know what the will of God is. Yes. Are you living with your boyfriend? Yes. Do you know that it's wrong? Yes. Why don't you do the will of God? But Pastor, I don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't have to know how it's going to turn out. Do the will of God. Do your part. Then God will do his part. If is in the Bible 1600 times. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Just do your part. He'll do his part. Then if you confess with your mouth Jesus and believe in your heart. God raised him from the dead. You do your part, you shall be saved. He'll do his part. Hallelujah. How many of y'all are ready to do the will of God? How many of y'all say, I'm tired, I'm sick, and tired of losing in life? I'm tired of being on the bottom. I'm tired of being out here in this struggle. Look, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burden. I'll give you rest if you do your part. Come unto Jesus. He'll give you rest. He'll do his part. Everybody say two steps. Two steps. If you're not ashamed, get out in the aisle and let's practice these two steps. Yes, once I know the will of God, if I do my part, he'll do his part. I do my part. He does his part. What you doing over there? Giving all that money to the church. I'm doing my part. Why you doing all that? Because I believe God's going to do his part. Hallelujah. You're acting funny. You don't go out with us no more. You don't drink with us no more. You don't smoke with us no more. What are you doing now? You ought to take a big step and say, I'm doing my part. Hallelujah. Why you doing all that? Because I believe God's going to do his part. How do you know? Because Psalms 84:11, it says no good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. My car is a good thing. My marriage is a good thing. My house on the lake is a good thing. The Bible says no good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So all I gotta do is do my part. He'll do his part. If I do my part, he'll do his part. If I do my part, he'll do his part. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, hey. Your old boyfriend, your old girlfriend, I can't get you on the phone. We don't sleep together no more. We don't have the time we used to have. All you gotta tell them, I blocked your number. Yes, I did. Cause I gotta get busy doing my part so he can do his part. Cause if I do my part, he'll do his part. Everybody repeat after me, my part, his part. 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 My obedience, his blessing. My giving, his blessing. My tithing, he blesses me. If I live right, he gonna do me right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to encourage somebody, grab somebody by the hand and y'all do the kingdom two-step. Do it for Jesus. Give me a rhythm. Come on, give me some. Give me some. Give me some. Give me a two-step. Hey. Oh, yeah. Oh. My part, his part. My part, his part. Hey, my part, his part. My part.